My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, Mike is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's got a new book, The Why Is Everything, A Story of Football, Rivalry, and Revolution. Yeah, that is out on Tuesday, October 1st. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, my man?
I'm better now after that Jerry lick to lead me in. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, we had a major discussion about what to play before you came on the air today, where we're going to do Grateful Dead. Jeff had another couple songs he wanted to do. Jeff, what was your...
Well, I figured we could play something from the Silver Convention. A little Fly, Robin, Fly. Or from the Silvers, Boogie Fever.
I'm really glad Jeff got overruled. Good job with that.
We deadheads got to take care of each other, Mike.
Alabama, get away. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Trust me, Mike. I didn't get any run on my suggestions.
He got zero. I'm not even a deadhead. I was like, oh, go with Grateful Dead. Let's do that. That'll be way better. Like,
there are a lot of really good choices. I wouldn't put Fly, Robin, Fly in that group, but I appreciate the effort.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. What do you think the situation is here? Where are we? Where is he going? Is there any chance he's staying with San Francisco?
Well, I think there's not a great chance he's staying with San Francisco, and I reported yesterday that they have not engaged with him since May, early May, really, like the aftermath of the draft. So they dangled Ayuk and Thibault at various points leading into and during the draft, drafted Ricky Pearsall, a receiver, with the 31st overall pick. Clearly one of them was going to be gone after 2024, if not earlier, and basically made him an offer in May that they haven't come off of, despite his efforts to engage. So finally he asked for a trade leading into camp, decided to show up and hold in, avoiding fines, and it turns out triggering Kyle Shanahan, who I think is able to compartmentalize when someone's holding out, but when he's right there in front of your face doing bro hugs or maybe not in a great mood one day for whatever reason, it set Shanahan off a little bit. And so that has kind of pushed the 49ers to be more aggressive about trade talks, but Ayuk does have leverage in that he has to take a physical, he has to agree to an extension, essentially, with whatever team trades for him, and so we're kind of in that zone where what does he want, what trade package do they want, is the money going to work out, and he's still holding in. In theory, they can say, knock it off, start practicing. You're under contract under the fifth-year option for $14.1 million this year, and then it would get very interesting.
What's he looking for, Mike? Is he looking for the big-time money receivers are getting now, and is he looking for that alone, Or is he looking for that in a place where he actually really wants to play? And what might that place be?
Great question. If it were money alone, I think the Patriots trade would have already gotten done, because my understanding is they're offering the most money, like an insane amount of money, even with the market where it is. And he seems to have not been open to that. So it's clearly not only about the money. My understanding is he's thinking about Cleveland. It's not like, I don't want to play there. It's just, he's got a young family. He's, doesn't know the city that well, and he's just kind of pondering. And certainly there are a lot of things about the Browns that are enticing, a lot of talent on that team. And, you could understand how someone would be excited to play there. So there's that. The Steelers seem to be a team that he has been targeting. The 49ers and Steelers haven't been as able to agree on trade compensation as the Browns. And then part of the issue is, because the 49ers botched their attempt to do this before the draft, which would have allowed them to get something for 2024, the last year of Brock Purdy's rookie deal, a season they really, really want to go after it, they're kind of looking for a player back who can contribute now. There's been talk about Amari Cooper with the Browns. That would obviously make the most sense as a receiver, but it definitely doesn't have to be a receiver. If you're looking at the Steelers, they don't really have the receiver to offer other than Pickens, who they don't seem to want to offer. But, if you put Minka Fitzpatrick into that deal, I think it gets done today, for example. So, it's a very interesting situation. There's been kind of this assumption that, quote, the 49ers have all the leverage, but they really don't have all the leverage in that Ayuk is not going to get traded to a place that he doesn't want to go.
You just mentioned something that I was just going to ask you about. We've heard here Amari Cooper and, say, a second-round pick, and then we've seen reports where it says Amari Cooper is not in the deal. You don't think the Niners would insist on getting a wide receiver back?
I don't know that it has to be a wide receiver. And so, Amari Cooper, obviously an incredibly talented and productive player. You would think most teams would be enticed by that. On the other hand, there's the whole Kyle Shanahan profile and the offense he runs, and takes a while to pick up, and does the guy block ferociously as Ayuk does. And so I haven't gotten a great read on whether they are really, really into Amari Cooper, happy to take Amari Cooper but not thrilled, or not into it. All I can tell you is it doesn't have to be a receiver. For example, had it been the Patriots and Matthew Judon or, the offensive lineman, I'm spacing on his name, that starts with an O, one of those guys, I think the 49ers would be like, yeah, we'll take another premium player at a different position in theory. The Patriots' second-round pick next year, let's be honest, is probably going to be really close to a first-round pick if they finish the way we expect them to. The Browns, I think it's more likely that that second-round pick is going to be a lot later in the second round. So, you have to weigh all these things. But, again, it's not just the 49ers deciding, which makes it an even trickier endeavor. I think if you're a Browns fan and you're hoping it happens, the good news is we're going to reach critical mass here, and it doesn't. Sure, the 49ers and Ayuk could solve it. You could throw money at the problem, and all they have to do is re-engage. But the fact that they haven't done it since May leads me to believe it's not necessarily headed that way.
How much longer do you think this thing's going to drag out? I'm just sitting here from the Browns' perspective going, hey, if this is – we have something on the table, and if he's kicking it around, or do the Browns – like Jeff had suggested this morning, the Browns just – they give the offer to San Francisco. They give the offer to Brandon and say, here's the deal. And this, if he takes it, he takes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I mean, could we be waiting a long time on this, or you think it's going to happen soon?
Well, we all want it to happen soon.
Yes.
That's how we are. But, yes. I don't know what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and company want. If the Browns could certainly do that, and it seems like the Patriots maybe did, either that or I just told them, look, it's not going to happen. But, you also don't have to, right? It's, if you think you have the framework of a deal and you think you have the money where, he wants it and you want it, you can probably wait. If you're the 49ers, you know, hold-ins tend to go for a while, and then it's pretty close to the season, and the team can say, look, man, you got to practice or else, and the player can do the Jalen Ramsey with the Jaguars and be like, man, my back hurts, and you can't prove it doesn't. That would be interesting. The player can go, you know what, I'm going to suck it up, I'm going to practice, I'm going to play, I'm going to make my 14-1 and way less than I think I'm worth, and I'm, you know, obviously going to err on the side of protecting my body, but it is what it is. Or, you know, you could have, for those of you who remember beyond a few years ago, you know, you could have Terrell Owens in the driveway doing push-ups while his agent screams next question, which I think in the social media era would be even more of a spectacle than it was then. So, I don't know. I just know that if Ayuk does play for the 49ers on a one-year deal, then all of a sudden it's Hunger Games with him and Deebo Samuel. We know one of them will be gone after next season at the latest. Also, there's the trade deadline. Deebo Samuel, who in the past has been pretty hardline in his own contract dealings, has shown up, had an amazing camp, totally into it, looks awesome. And I think the juxtaposition of Deebo Samuel's current approach and Brandon Ayuk's has also triggered Kyle Shanahan, and they seem fine going forward with Samuel and first-round pick Ricky Pearsall. So all of that is super intriguing to me. So I wouldn't mind it continuing all the way to the trade deadline or beyond, because maximum drama as a columnist in San Francisco, but I can understand how fans want some quick resolution. I would say once the preseason ends and we're getting into that regular season prep, something will go down one way or the other, and it'll be very interesting.
Michael, what do you think of the whole notion of a hold-in, this byproduct of the CBA that kind of gave a loophole for these players to kind of do this? Like, it's funny because the whole time you're talking, I'm going, I can't stand these hold-ins. I think they're the dumbest thing ever. And then you brought in the drama part, and then I thought about what you do for a living and what we do for a living, and I'm like, well, maybe it's not so bad.
Well, and remember, I cover a team that in 2022 had Jimmy Garoppolo literally as a sideshow throwing on a side field during training camp where fans could, like, turn around and watch with the assumption that he was going to eventually be traded as he rehabbed his shoulder. And then they kept him, and then Trey Lance got hurt in week two, and Jimmy had what was going to be a Pro Bowl season until he got hurt and Brock Purdy came in. I mean, talk about drama. I've had a lot of it. But, I would say the first thing on your question is that people have to remember that all rookies or people on rookie deals are getting ripped off relative to the market because of the 2011 lockout and subsequent collective bargaining agreement, where the current players then sold out the future rookies and said, fine, we'll cap rookie wages and protect teams who, heaven forbid, draft the wrong guy from having to pay so much. So now they're all getting below market deals if they're good and if they're drafted high. So Brandon Ayuk has been underpaid for years, and 14.1 this year would be an underpay relative to the market. So anything the CBA allows, including a holdout or hold-in, I think is very minor compared to the advantages the owners got starting in 2011. The second part of that is, conventional wisdom says hold-in's better than a holdout. The guy's still around the team. He's still in the fold. It seems like you're working towards something. Everybody can be cordial. And it's just kind of, usually I think it works when you know it's going to get done. It's just been complicated and it's taking a while. Where I think a hold-in can be problematic is when the player requests a trade, you're not negotiating with him, and then he's just coming in so he doesn't get fined. And remember, those fines can be forgiven when you're on your rookie deal, but if Brandon Ayuk gets fined every day and then gets traded, the 49ers are not going to forgive those fines. Why would they? So I get why he would come in, and in this case, when he came in, my first impression, and I wrote it, was he's got no leverage now. if you really want to be, you know, a guy hardened, you hold out. But now I'm reconsidering and saying, I think he triggered Kyle Shanahan. I think he bothered him to the point where they're now going to either trade him or, you know, be willing to trade him, depending on what he wants. And that's movement from where they were before trading camp.
Mike, I do want to ask you about the book. I want to ask you about your new book that comes out on October 1st. The Why is Everything, a story of football, rivalry, and revolution. What's this all about? And give us a little preview.
Well, I'm psyched that you asked. I'm really excited about this. It's the Shanahan-McVay coaching crew, basically, which includes Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, all head coaches were on that Mike Shanahan staff in Washington, and talks about the way they've changed the game. And it's cool because really Jim Schwartz is like the classic Shanahan beater, and we saw that again, in, I think, October it was last year, that great defensive effort by the Browns, a game that I really enjoyed attending and watching, and, that's kind of a counterpoint, and you get into why the 49ers have made some of their schematic changes in reaction to the trouble Kyle Shanahan has had with that scheme. But really, it's a look at these people who have a different approach. Instead of just following the old tenets, it's everything's open to being questioned. They share that, but there's also the pettiness and the rivalry between them. And obviously, over the last, seven seasons or so, we've seen so much play out with Shanahan, McVay, now McDaniel in Miami, LaFleur in Green Bay, and Raheem Morris getting a second chance. So I think football fans are going to love it, and if you don't know football that well, I think it'll help you understand the sport.
Is Shanahan under any heat out there, Mike, to win the whole thing?
I mean, he's under a lot of heat from himself to win the whole thing. He's maniacally obsessed that he's had four close calls in the last five seasons, two NFC Championship game defeats, and obviously the two Super Bowls against the Chiefs. So he wants it desperately. I would say he's not under any heat in terms of, is he going to get fired if they don't win? But as you know, things change rapidly in the NFL, and things can degenerate. And they've had this great little run with Brock Purdy, the 262nd pick of the draft. Talk about a bad rookie deal. He's, making so little relative to his performance that they can load up around him and pay so many premium players at so many positions, and they have such a talented roster. But after this season, they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Doesn't mean you have to break up the whole operation, but they're going to have to make some hard decisions. That's what's going on here with the drafting of Ricky Pearsall and the potential movement of Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. And so, there's a lot of internal pressure to kind of make this season count before you have to start paying the guy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Purdy's contract doesn't even call for him to make $1 million this year. Do you think they view him as a guy, say like Jordan Love, who you're going to pay, you know, $50 million to? Is he going to be one of those guys? Or might they think, we can go find another quarterback who can come in here and run this thing at a really reasonable price?
No, he's going to be one of those guys. And I kind of laughed when we're talking about, is he Jordan Love? I mean, Jordan Love, bless him, had like 8 or 9 good games after a choppy first half of his first season as a starter. You know, went into Dallas and won a playoff game and was poised to do it against the Niners, threw a terrible interception on first down with a chance to tie the game late. So I'm not saying Jordan Love's not going to be a really good quarterback, and what he did was really cool, but the haste with which the Packers committed financially to him is kind of striking to me. Brock Purdy had that great run as a rookie, suffered a potentially ruinous arm injury, came right back from it, and it had the 14th highest quarterback rating in NFL history last year and leading the league. I think he's absolutely convinced me, but more important, he's convinced Kyle Shanahan a long time ago. So yeah, they're going to pay him barring, you know, some crazy regression. And I think that'll be fine. They think he can elevate. You know, what you don't have is the ability to pay Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Charvarius Ward, Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In perpetuity, you're going to have to make some tough decisions and not have all of those guys.
Mike, as always, thank you very much. We appreciate you. The new book, The Why is Everything, A Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution, just in time for you to write a book report, kids, when you go back to school. It is out October 1st. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, you guys.
Talk to you soon. Of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hot.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.